This segment of the Henry Rein Show is brought to you by Bike Federal, the Bitcoin ATM company, bringing Bitcoin to a location near you.
Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rein Show here on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Monday immediately following Talking Markets. It's the second half of the Monday financial power block here with Talking Markets at 4:05 p.m., Henry Rein Show at 5:05 p.m., where we talk about everything in the week of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. And, of course, there's a lot more going on this week. But in the Bitcoin world, Bitcoin price surged 5.6% today, cleanly breaking out, and I haven't even looked at it in the last hour, cleanly breaking out of the 6,800 to 7,000 resistance range for the first time since its drop to 3,600 on March 12th. Oh, is that March 12th of 2020? Could it really be just less than a month ago it was at 3,600 and now it's doubled? I guess so. That's what it says. The Bank of International Settlements has issued a report arguing in favor of central bank digital currencies, CBDCs. Don't get it confused with CBD. CBDCs. And digital payments amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Microsoft has acknowledged that the quarantine gamers are putting a strain on its Azure cloud platform, which is a backbone of the company's blockchain as service provider offering. That would be BaaS, blockchain as a service offering. And that's not the only strain that's happening under the quarantine. Well, many crypto holders around the world are practicing self-quarantine and other measures to limit social contact. Some are turning to the adult industry for comfort. Yes, it's true. I know you all are shocked by that. Well, we'll be shocking you with more price and information right now. And that's all because we've got Andy, he'll be coming in pretty soon. He's trying to make it through the disinfectant chamber that leads into the sterile facility of the WWPR studio. But until that moment,
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Well, Bitcoin price surged, as I said earlier, by 5.6% in the last 12 hours. In fact, let me reach into my vast array of technical devices here and see if I can get an up-to-moment price as we speak here. And that would only take me just a moment to tell you whether it has gone up or down. In the meantime, Papa John's is emailing me to tell me they got a great deal for me. But right now, on Coinbase, Bitcoin is trading for $7,247, notably higher for the day. In fact, it is $518 for the past 24 hours. Well, the strong upward momentum of Bitcoin and its staircase-esque rally in the last 3 weeks suggests that a textbook breakout pattern is forming. Well, that worries me. Whenever something is staircase-esque, that everybody can see, and as a textbook breakout pattern, that sounds to me like somebody's setting you up on BitMEX futures market. But anyway, the $8,500 resistance level, which prominent trader Pintar Udi, you all know him, predicted in early March to act as a short-term top in the second quarter of 2020, is a key historical area where Bitcoin rejected from several times in 2018. Well, if only we had a technical analyst here that could make sense of all that. But I'm looking at a chart here. So we can see the sudden drop way back there, in ancient history, almost 3.5 weeks ago, around March 12th, down into the 3,000 level. And there we see the staircase-esque increase back to where it is, although as I get fear of missing out, as I've told you before, that I pretty much have gone to cash on my crypto trading more as a function of the environment and my personal financial situation and other opportunities and other markets. I have to keep telling myself, I sold out at a price higher than this. But you see it down there at 3,800, and it's only human nature to think, man, I could have doubled my money now. What could have gone wrong with that? Well, probably I would be telling you that right now if I had bought back into it back at that level. But you may have heard that we have a pandemic going on. It's been in all the newspapers, the ones that are still printing. And there's a lot of fallout, even in the blockchain world, of this. The Bank of International Settlements, BIS for those in the know and talking the lingo, has issued a report arguing in favor of central bank digital currencies, again, that's CBDCs, and digital payments amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Well, the bulletin published by the Bank of International Settlements, BIS, a 600-member international financial institution representing the central banks of 60 countries. I wonder what country was number 61 that didn't get to be in the club, urges central banks to consider, and just how bad a central bank do you have to be if you're number 61? I mean, where does the bank of Central Bank of Zimbabwe come in there? Or there's not much sense in having a club unless you can keep people out. But I wonder what the criteria for keeping people out of the Bank of International Settlements is. Anyway, for the 60 that are in the club, urges central banks to consider developing CBDCs in light of concerns regarding the spread of coronavirus through existing payment methods. Well, what does that also mean? Well, you see, the BIS echoes the WHO's concern, as I sneakily put in two acronyms there into just six words. While the Bank of International Settlement echoes the World Health Organization's concerns, the report asserts that the risk of coronavirus transmission through contact with credit card terminals and PIN pads, personal identification number pads, is even greater. That's what happens when you try and do a sentence with too many acronyms. You'll get through the first two, you'll stumble over anything that's left. Scientific evidence, and I don't even have an acronym to blame on that one. Let me say, this is a quote from either the BIS or the WHO. Scientific evidence suggests that the probability of transmission via banknotes is low when compared with other frequently touched objects such as credit card terminals or PIN pads. So that makes you ask the question, so why do we want the central bank digital currency? I guess you must have contactless payments. You have to have it on your phone. Otherwise, you're just going to be accessing through a touchpad. Anyway, the report notes that in past crises, demand for cash has often increased as consumers have sought a stable store of value and medium of exchange. While the Bank of International Settlement identifies a recent increase in the circulation of cash in the U.S., the report notes that the current data does, quote, not yet paint a uniform picture, with ATM withdrawals falling in the United Kingdom. Well, that would make sense to me, because if they're talking about the reluctance to use PIN pads and credit card terminals that you touch as a probability of transmission versus using cash, well, here in the U.S., you get the cash, it's in your pocket or your wallet, and then you hand it over, and you're going to get somebody else's dirty cash back, probably, but you're not going to get the 537 people that touched the ATM before you or touched the PIN pad before you. But having been to the United Kingdom just the summer before last, and I had to use a credit card of mine there, the fact that I did not have a Touch 3 free credit card required me to provide ID in the United Kingdom, which I'm sure the cashier at the Walmart wannabe type store recognized right that my Florida driver's license was absolutely a true ID and proceeded to give me my candy and grapes from the grocery section. Well, if you don't know what that theme music is for, then I don't know if I want to talk to you anymore because you just haven't been listening. But I guess for the new person out there that earnestly found this station, that's the theme music for the Talking Market Show that comes on at 4:05 every Monday. And one half of the founders of that, Andrew, a.k.a. Andy, is back in the studio. He finally got through the disinfectant chamber. Did you forget the pin code again?
Yeah.
And the disinfectant chamber to get, you know.
I'm almost now paranoid about it.
Well, I guess it's the fact that you have to do the pin pad before going in and going out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a hazard, according to the Bank of International Settlements, which is why we all need central bank digital currencies.
Oh, yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah, the Bank of International Settlement was calling for CBDCs. At first, I thought they were looking for some oil to vaporize.
Oil, yeah.
Yeah, but no, they were talking about that. The 60 club members of the Bank of International Settlements. While you're out, I was also speculating who was number 61 that couldn't get into the central bank club of the world. and, you know, just how bad do you have to be for that? But going back to the point, they're saying we need them central bank digital currencies because we don't want your dirty money circulating and spreading things that they shouldn't spread.
You know, it's going to be a hard sale at first. You know, but it's just like anything else. As people use it more and more and more and more, it'll become more adopted. But I think it's going to be a hard sell at first.
Well, I have to tell you, I've got two more stories following up on this. And there's the one right after the next one, and this will be fast, will make you go, huh? Because it's about the U.S. And you'll be like, I didn't get the email on this. How do they know about this in South Korea? But they know stuff in South Korea. Well, finishing up this leg of the CBDC story, despite advocating for central bank digital currency, the Bank of International Settlements warns that a move away from cash as a generally accepted means of payment, quote, could open up a payment divide between those with access to digital payments and those without, likely having severe impact on unbanked and older consumers, which only half of those parties really need to be worried about it, because if you're unbanked, you got the Cash App or you got one of these other ones that does the contactless payments, and you're not really worried about your checking out of the 7-Eleven or the vape store or wherever you're buying whatever it is you need. And it's the older consumers. And
they disinfect money. It has a chemical in it.
They don't disinfect it between the time it's in your pocket and it goes in the 7-Eleven cash register and comes back out.
Yeah.
But I was saying that, you know, in the UK, they've had a drop in the number of withdrawals from ATMs, the activity at ATMs. But they require you to do contactless payment there, so that makes sense. But here, I got a bunch of cash, well, relatively a bunch of cash. You can't take that much of cash out of an ATM. But I got enough cash, and I've been using that rather than doing the pin pads at all the different stores that I'm not supposed to be going outside to shop at, but it's essential for me. So
you're at Publix every day.
No, not so much Publix. 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven.
I get my essential Diet Coke from the fountain every day at 7-Eleven. And by the way, 7-Eleven, because I know the corporate 7-Eleven listens to this show religiously, I think it's more sanitary for me to bring my thermal cup in, fill it up at the fountain, then put my hands over all six of those other lids to get to the one that nobody's touched, and then have to put all those six that I've touched back on there for the poor people behind me. But I'm sanitary, so I'm clean. And
allegedly.
And I also, and then I have to, like, pull three or four cups off the stack to get to the one that hasn't been touched yet, and then shove the three or four that
I've
touched.
Do that, too?
Of course I do. Do I look healthy? At least pandemic-wise? You're next to me. You better think yes.
Yeah, you're healthy.
I mean...
Well, you know, I mean, they closed down the damn fitness shop, you know.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean, like, buff. But I meant as in not ready to go on a ventilator.
Yeah. No, yeah.
You're right. Yeah. just a frog in my throat.
Actually, you know, this place has been the cleanest I've ever seen it.
Well, yeah, because I scrubbed it all down when I came in here. You know, I don't know if the First Lady of Radio, Valerie, is listening to us right now, but she texted me last night that the studio gets cleaned every day. So I went to look for cleaning supplies. Luckily, I had brought some in my car just in case the previous show, in their zeal to scrub the place down, had used all the cleaning supplies. But... hopefully for the next person, they'll bring their own cleaning supplies because mine are going back in the car. All right. I digress. We were talking about CBD oil. CBD digital coins. That's right. Well, the People's Bank of China held a teleconference on April 3rd. That was just a couple days ago in Beijing, China. One of the main points confirmed during the call involved the institution's continued research and development of CBDC. And the meeting summarized the central bank's achievement with fiat currency, gold, silver, and securities. Now, I knew when I put that in here, and I would read it, there had to be a little thing that would perk in your ear, or percolate in your ear, or your brain, when I said, the Chinese central bank's achievement with gold and silver. What do you think they were achieving with gold and silver? Yeah, you don't know.
They're digitizing it.
They didn't check with you.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, so... they're not digitizing gold and silver. They're hoarding it.
Oh,
they're
going to
bring down
it.
The financial system.
Yeah, they've been hoarding it.
Yeah.
They're still not, I think they're still like 10th on the list.
Who's got the most?
The United States.
You really believe that?
Yeah. Oh. We got it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, have you seen it?
Well, it's all sitting in some shelter in New York City. I have no idea. Allegedly, we have the most.
Don't you know? Haven't you read the websites that all got snuck out of New York was under the 9/11 attack? It was under the World Trade Center. Yeah.
It could have.
Oh, man. You got to go to WeNeverLie.com and read the story about that. Anyway, the meeting summarized the central bank's achievement, as I said, with fiat, currency, gold, silver, and securities since the end of 2019. Executives analyzed the bank's present challenges in depth while acknowledging their top priority for 2020. Boy, this is wordy, like just like those Chinese press releases. Is the continued research and development of CBD saying, quote, the top priority is to enhance the top level. This stuff must get lost in translation. The top priority is to enhance the top level system design, unswervingly advance the research and development of CBDC, systematically promote the reform of cash issuance and return systems, and accelerate the promotion of banknote processing business, issuances of bank cards, and issuance funds. Okay. Well, I'm glad they're making progress. Now, because that gets us to the story that I said would make you go, The Bank of Korea has launched a new pilot program for central bank digital currency. Everybody now, what's that called? CBDC. And concerns other nations could take... Did let the mass media just learn this acronym, CBDC? Yep. Now it's all over the place. Other nations could take the lead if it sits on the sidelines. Because we know everybody gets in line behind South Korea these days. South Korea's central bank said Monday it had reevaluated the CBDC... See, it also could be Central Bank of Darn China. But I don't think it is. I think it's Central Bank Digital Currency Proposal after observing that other developing countries, including neighboring Japan and its close ally, the U.S. No. It's the U.S. and its close ally, Japan. Right. We get top billing. We're running the world. It's our empire. It's not Japan's. Not since, like, prior to 1945. Not since we illuminated a couple of their cities.
Yeah.
Not that we're...
That was sad times.
Not that, yes. We're not happy about the grief and all, but it was us, and, you know, don't forget it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, its close ally, the U.S., were moving forward with their own digital currency plans faster than anticipated. Well, contraire. Now, in South Korea, we would know if our U.S. was moving forward. I mean, I think Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, said, we're thinking about it, but we're not doing anything.
The benefit of having it is that everybody would have a wallet.
Yes.
And so you could, the stimulus money, which is taking, God only knows, could be directly put right to your phone. Square, actually. Jack Dorsey. He was saying, hey, you know, we'll help you.
And even the co-founder of Square, whose name nobody knows, was saying that today on CNBC. and then the host said, Jack, oh, I'm sorry, that's not your name. But continuing this line, though, abandoning their wait-and-see approach, Bank of Korea officials have now pushed the central bank into a 22-month pilot program. Gee, what lit a fire under their Korean bank? To assess, starting this month, to assess the technical and legal ramifications of replacing physical cash with digital equivalents. Quote, the U.S. and Japan had no plans to issue a CBDC in the near future, but they changed their stance recently to enhance research in the emerging area, said an official speaking to the Korea Times. The Bank of Korea also decided to remain proactive in the rapid shift in payment environments here and abroad. So we're going to set up the CBDC pilot program and check technical league, blah, blah, blah. When did we start this stuff? And how come they know?
Yeah.
And we don't know it here, right here on the south side of Tampa Bay in WWPR studio, where we do the weekly roundup of Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrency. They don't want it to become an existing extension of existing international rivals. Yeah, sure they don't. They just want to be first. I think it's like, this is like a Gulf of Tonkin, a CBDC. They're just saying we did it so that they can go ahead and go forward and beat us to it.
Absolutely.
We'll show them.
So what's Microsoft doing?
Well, so we've spent all that time on this fallout from the pandemic about CBDCs. But what about the little people, Andy? What are the little people doing in this pandemic? Well, I'll tell you. Microsoft has acknowledged the quarantine gamers are putting a strain on its Azure cloud platform. You're going to want to know this when you do your Talking Market show next Monday at 4:05. And for you, GreenBridgeInvesting.com.
I read this article.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, you were touting Microsoft
gaming,
today.
Netflix,
I own Microsoft.
Netflix,
I'm worried.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
I like Netflix. I like Microsoft. I like Microsoft.
I do, too. I bought it. My daughter has it in her account.
Yeah, it's a good company.
One of my daughters. I think they have different risk-reward kind of temperaments that I try and tailor it to. Anyway. It's putting a strain on the Azure cloud platform with the backbone of the company's blockchain as a service offering. In the SEC filing, Microsoft addresses the impact of the global health pandemic. I've heard about that. On its cloud service, the company admits that in certain regions, deployments for some compute resource types. Who wrote this and what world are they using syntax from? This is by Yoda. Yoda at Microsoft wrote this. Deployments from some resource types compute are struggling to maintain our game. Drop below our typical 99.99% success rates. Well, that seems a high standard to try and keep. That's like us.
Yep.
That's like our accuracy. Anyway, Microsoft confirms that Xbox Live is putting a strain on overall Azure capacity. So all you people who are being unproductive, trying to teach grandma how to play Xbox.
Well, Netflix, too.
Tell her to get her finger off the darn button.
Yeah, Netflix, too. You can watch Netflix through the Xbox.
Well, that's not... Well... But I don't think that is as much of a demand of resources as the high-speed gaming.
I know my nieces and nephews used to watch Netflix.
Netflix takes care of that because they throttle.
Yeah.
I mean, they said in the time of pandemic.
Is that why I get that loading?
Only because of the pandemic. It's indirectly because of the pandemic. Yeah. They have to do what's good for all of us. So, and too many people, if you would watch Tiger King like everybody else, instead...
Yeah, I couldn't watch it.
Instead of reruns of Grumpy Old Men, you know...
I'm on a Western fling right now. I'm watching Westerns.
I have been YouTube TV, and I don't watch much TV, and I still don't watch much TV, but just the thought of that I can't go out unless it's essential, and I have to figure out my justification for essentiality, which I seldom have a problem doing, but just because I'm afraid that I'll be stuck, I have Turner Classic Movie, because I'm an old movie person, I have it recording so many movies I am never going to watch. You get unlimited DVR with YouTube TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I just... It's Google. Let them record for me. They know everything else
about
me. And
Netflix is still the king.
Well, I'm not saying that they don't have any original pro. YouTube TV is it's like their version of cable.
Yeah.
Only cheaper and unlimited DVR. And yeah. But I, you know... Not that we ever digress in this program.
Never.
But YouTube TV, I was almost going to have to drop it because they were going to give up the regional sports. And I watch Tampa Bay Rays, almost every time they're on during the season. And this was going into spring training. The regional sports networks that aren't Fox anymore, they're owned by Sinclair Broadcasting, were playing hardball with YouTube TV. And they were going right down to the last day to see who would blink.
Yeah.
And evidently, Google blinked. And with the only giving in is that instead of having the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays in the Tampa Bay market, you only get the Tampa Bay Rays. In Miami, you only get the Miami Marlins. So, but for all that hard negotiation that YouTube TV did, Sinclair is like, we're getting paid for nothing now. We don't have to produce any new thing. We'll just show these reruns over and over again.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so you gamers.
Is there even going to be a baseball season?
They're going to play the World Series in the snow. They're not going to give up that money if they can help it. Thankfully it's looking like maybe we flattened the curve a little bit.
I don't know. I haven't seen that yet.
What do you mean?
I was always the optimist, too. What
do you mean? You were texting me today when I was sending you what the latest projections were like. And like, oh, that matches up with mine. And when you were giving me your projection, I was saying, no, it's going to be higher. And now it's coming down to what you think it is. And you're saying, oh, I'm pessimistic. You got money on this or something?
$1,100.
You got the over-under on what day the peak in New York is?
And this is going back a month, and I said 60,000.
Did you buy stock in hydroxychloride?
No, I didn't, but I wish I did. I think that's the key there. But 60,000. People are calling for $2 million, all that. I'm like, you nuts. There's no evidence for it.
I can tell you what there's some evidence for. What people are doing when they're not playing games online. Many crypto holders around the world are practicing self-quarantine and other measures to limit social contact, and some are turning to the adult industry for comfort.
Pornhub's free this month, I heard. From a friend.
You know?
I don't even know.
Just a public service. Pornhub is leading younger viewers into an unrealistic and unhealthy expectation of how fast the plumber gets to your front door. or the pizza man for that.
Even
30 minutes, I've never seen anybody. I've never seen anything there. Actually, it's been a long time since I've seen any porn. Yeah, of course you've never watched it. Yeah, you're right.
But I'm so paranoid, and it's not because I'm anti-porn. I don't watch it anyways. But I'm so paranoid on my computers.
Well, you want to have a healthy idea of how the plumber relates to you.
Plumberette.
Well, many crypto holders around the world, I'll just quit digging the hole. Cryptocurrency payment processor CoinGate reported an increase in purchases. No, I'm not. So I remember when the VCR was a new product.
Well, I remember when you went to the video store, you had to go, there was a room.
Yeah.
For the adult
or maybe
videos.
Only a book with the covers.
Yes.
Not that I know anything about that. But I remember being at Walmart, probably about 1983 or so. And this nice young lady was checking out, and they used to have the... Back when they had CDs and all the audio and video media there in one place, like a little store within a store at Walmart. And there's nothing wrong with being country. Mm-mm. But if I were to, you know, in a pejorative way, say these crackers were in front of me, this tall, skinny guy with missing some teeth but with his cowboy hat and this really... overweight woman
who was
buying a video camera and a bunch of VHS tapes, and he told the young woman as he was checking out there way back in 1983, "Oh yeah, we're going home to make some sex tapes with this stuff." And she, that poor young woman, she was like, "Oh," and we didn't even have a pandemic then, and she didn't want to touch any of that stuff. But the other thing I will say about porn is if you were to go look, I don't even know how you would do this anymore, but if you were to look at, like, porn from, like, the late 70s, early 80s, that's like a romance movie now compared to, and I have, like I said, I haven't seen it for right over a decade or so. Anyway, way too much information in that last segment. Anyway, cryptocurrency payment processor CoinGate reported an increase in purchase from adult stores in March over activity.
What?
CoinGate, something that tracks cryptocurrency payments.
Okay.
It's a payment processor. I guess BitPay doesn't like dealing with porn companies. We're too good for the porn company.
That's right.
Reported an increase in purchase for all those poor young women that are trying to be entrepreneurial. Anyway, and young men, too, as someone that was almost governor could tell you. There's a lot of entrepreneurs out there,
yes, there
with
are.
Their media. And purchases from adult stores, a lot of custom media, from what I understand. In March, over activity in February, sites like ManyVids and Live Jasmine, I don't know, like I said, I've been out of that loop for a long time, had 17% and 8% increase in cart sizes. I think that means your checkout cart.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you check it out now?
I don't think that was a euphemism for cart size. Respectively.
What are you buying? I mean, I thought it was like a membership. You pay...
See, I can... Well, see, you're exposing the fact that you've been out of it just as long as I have.
Oh, okay.
Because
I mean, what are you putting in your cart?
I've read some stories online that because of the places, all the free places, which I guess there's so much free porn now out there, which is why every young adult, young mid-age, middle school ager has seen porn now, that there's some, and I don't even know, I can't remember now because I didn't need to make a note of it, there's sort of like a place where a lot of these entrepreneurial young women and men, you find them, you know, it's like a central directory type thing, and, you know, they interact. There's a lot of social media give and take there.
Okay. I guess.
And
what the hell are you getting for your money?
To me,
it's a waste of money.
Let me finish this story.
All right.
Then whatever other questions, young man, that you need, I will try and explain it to you. Just don't tell your mother what I said. I ain't even got to finish this story. Anyway, there's a bunch of people buying porn under quarantine, and they're using crypto because they don't want to use their MasterCard and Visa, which makes sense to me, even if I don't say you think you should be out buying this stuff these days. Let's see. Some merchants on the payment gateway reporting an increase as large as 240% turnover compared to pre-quarantine times. Bitcoin payments grew by 13%. Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash, they're all being used about like that. Of course you want to get rid of you. Now, that is a smart financial move. Push your Bitcoin Cash off.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. MasterCard and Visa, they're down to single digits. Okay. So we've gotten through those stories. Now, what was the question about all this? What do they do? What, the story that I read was, you know, they're interviewing the people. This was through Yahoo. They're always sending me stuff. That, you know, right next to the Bloomberg stuff, they send me one of these stories. And the person was saying that, you know, there's a lot of personal relationship activity, a lot of one-on-one messaging. It's a very time-intensive career now. It's not just going and shooting videos for studios like, I don't even know if this even exists anymore, but, you know, like back when Howard Stern would have, the different stars on, and or any of that, Bubba the Love Sponge, whoever, and, you know, there was like Vivid Movies or something like that, and they had a stable of people and names of, if I said the names now, the women are probably close to 50 of anybody I know the names of. And but it's a very social media intense thing. So, you know, the person is saying, well, I got to put, you know, I got to keep my Instagram up, and I got to, and then they got their, whatever the porn equivalent of Instagram is, and then, you know, I got to put up so many posts a day, and then I got to respond to the emails, and then I got to shoot the private videos. And it's like,
I'm exhausted listening.
Yes. It's a tough world out there, Andy.
It must be.
It's a lot different than the good old days.
Sneaking a Playboy, you know.
Or right here in Bradenton on the south side of Tampa Bay, when the trail drive-in on US 41 near the airport started their Friday and Saturday midnight shows. And if you drove real slow by anyway. I don't even know if I'm going to put this one up on the podcast site.
Yeah,
so if you're listening live, you probably may be the only person listening.
Yeah. Well, I have to go pick up Gator.
All right. Well, I'm going to play the exit music, and we will get out of here. Oh, next week.
What's the next? Oh,
it's good that we get all these digressions out of here, because we're currently scheduled for Joe Newman, who is, I believe, 107 years old. We're going to take a break from crypto talk, and he was alive during the 1918 flu pandemic, and now he was only 5 years old, but he's going to give us a sense of the times, not so much the details of the pandemic, but what was it like growing up in those kind of times? And one of the things he said to me, and I'm sure he'll say it again, is, yeah, there was a 1918 pandemic, a flu panic, but we had a panic about everything.
Yeah, I mean, back then there was nothing. I mean,
week to week, we had something to
be panicked
about.
To be worried about, yeah.
So
we got it easy nowadays.
All right. Well, thanks to Andy, and thanks to Gator for being patient there wherever he is waiting for him. And we will be back next week with another Henry Range show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on the Henry Range Show.